Spooky season is here. This is the first episode Dante and I are recording in the month of October. So good to be here. Good to be alive. Good to thrive. Good for y'all to hear our voices again. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since me and Dante recorded, but it hasn't been a minute since y'all last heard our voices, depending on when you listened. Anyway.
I like that.
I love doing the show. I love y'all listening every week. It means a lot. If you guys are new to this show is all about bringing together different perspectives, hence the name of the show. So my co-host Dante and I, we talk about pop culture to politics, entertainment, music. We talk about it all. And Dante and I, we don't shy away from talking about difficult things. It might be hard for a lot of people to have these conversations. So we bring them to the pod. We discuss it. It gets heated sometimes, but it's all in good fun because you guys love the show. The debates are always good. And ultimately, it's conversations that we need to be having more often. So thank you guys for building up this community. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being a part of the show. Now, speaking of being a part of the show, we have several methods for you guys to get in touch with us. We have an anonymous link in the description of this episode where you guys can send us whatever you want. Send us hate mail, send us a question, send us something interesting to read on air. We love hearing from you guys. Thank you for the reviews. Thank you for the ratings. We got a new review, likely from our friend whose boyfriend was about to have permission to clap, but we saved your relationship. You rewarded us with the review. We love it. Thank you so much. Anybody else out there that has not left a review, leave one because we love it. Dante's over here laughing. How are you, Dante?
I'm good. That was uncalled for. That was hilarious.
I try, man. How you living?
Oh, man. But yes, we living good. Eating steak and lobster like you texted me earlier, you know, so we living good. Can't complain. Yeah, we love to hear it. Positive vibes on this podcast, but I'm excited to get into the topics that we have for you guys today.
We always tease that on every episode, but really on this episode, we have a lot to get through, so we're going to forego doing listener questions. Speaking of listener questions, Dante and I are eventually going to do an episode where we compile all of your questions, and we devote an episode to just reading all of your letters. So this is another way for us to plug the anonymous thing, send stuff in, make it spicy, make it dry, make it, I was about to say make it wet, but that didn't sound very good.
Hey,
so let me not, you know, WAP was released last year, but this isn't about WAP. This is about listener questions. So you guys send stuff in, make that podcast spicy. We love it. But yeah, it's a good week for me. Yeah. The Cowboys won. The Eagles continue to lose, but
they actually won yesterday.
For once.
Oh yeah.
Must be nice. The Cowboys won, man. I'm happy because that's my team. We're doing well. Let me knock on wood because anything can happen. So it's a good week. Let's get into Off My Chest.
Justin's got a gift.
It's off his chest.
Dante has got to give.
It's off his chest.
Justin and Dante got to get it off their chest.
All right. Thank you, Julia. So, Dante, off my chest, what do you have for us this week?
So this isn't a new off my chest. This is just a continuation of what I said on the last episode when I talked about people working for wages, livable wages, and, you know, companies needing to pay them. And I just saw a story on Twitter. This lady tweeted, in 1998, I worked at Wendy's and I made $7.25, the current federal minimum wage. A medium number six combo after taxes came out to $4.45. Today, that same combo runs you over $9. So when you say doubling the price of minimum wage will double prices, I don't think you know what the fuck you're talking
Speak.
About. And all I can do is co-sign that and say amen, because that's what, you know, the other arguments you always hear. Well, milk is going to cost us $8 a gallon. The federal minimum wage been the same since 1998. Some of the people listening to this were not alive. But the prices of gas have gone up. The prices of school have gone up. The prices of living has gone up. The price of healthcare has gone up. But the wages have stayed the same. Make it make sense. Capitalism will not kill me.
Capitalism will not kill us. We always say it on every single episode. It's a tagline of the show. Y'all know where I stand. Pay people their worth. Pay people a livable wage. Stop it. Cut the BS. All right. So my off my chest this week. So I went out with some friends over the weekend. It was around the evening time whenever everybody was done. Somebody in the group asked somebody to take a picture of the group. You know, black people were not seen at certain hours of the night, so the lighting has to be on point for us to look good and to be seen. So, you know, I'm getting ready, you know, putting my hands in my pockets, adjusting myself. And then I hear, oh, I got it. Are y'all good? Do y'all need another one? And I was like, I'm not even ready. And this is one of my pet peeves when it comes to other people taking my picture. They never take a good picture. It's blurry. They show it to you and ask, does it look good? And then you look at them and like, no, it's not good. Can you take another one? And the thing is with me, I'm the greatest photographer. If somebody asks me to take a picture, I make sure to take several, take a couple angles, put some focus on there. If I'm feeling spicy, I'll put a filter on there. I like to make sure that people get, you know, a good picture because I want people to do the same for me. Anytime it's me that's being taken, the picture is always trash. Make it make sense. Why do y'all like to do that to us?
I think that, you know, there's etiquette to when somebody asks you to take a picture for them. Like, you got to get more than one shot. Obviously, you got to give people a warning like, hey, I'm taking it. You know, you gotta, it's not hard to tap a button. Y'all do it to text all the time or swipe on Tinder. Like, just tap that button, get them a couple shots, get them 5 or 6 shots. It's not that bad.
Exactly.
You know, put it in portrait mode, get spicy with it. Like, because you would want somebody to do it for
exactly,
you.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what it comes down to. Treating others the way that you want to be treated and being afforded those same opportunities. And that's what the fuck we talk about on this podcast.
Speak. This guy's snapping already. What are we, 2 minutes into the podcast? He's snapping like Mr. Krabs. But but yeah, honestly, I agree with everything he said. Do y'all feel my frustration? Has it happened to you? I'm sure it has, but we live, we prosper, we move on. So let's move on to our first story of the week. If you guys have been paying attention, Dave Chappelle, our favorite comedian, released another special recently, and of course, controversy is brewing. The special is called The Closer, and in it, he makes some jokes about trans people.
Cancel J.K. Rowling. My God, J.K. Rowling wrote all the Harry Potter books by herself. She sold so many books, the Bible worries about her. And they canceled her because she said in an interview, and this is not exactly what she said, but effectually, she said gender was a fact. And then the trans community got mad as shit. They started calling her a TERF. So I looked it up. TERF is an acronym. Stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. I'm Team TERF. I agree, man. Gender is a fact.
People know Dave Chappelle. He likes to make jokes about everybody. Trans people are not excluded from those jokes. So obviously people were upset. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. Dante and I, we wanted to do our respective homework. We watched the special in its entirety. That way we have the best context to form our own opinions. Both of us have some thoughts on it, but the controversy obviously is that because he made jokes about trans people, they got upset and they're in a way trying to paint him out to be anti-trans. Comedy is a touchy subject because people think that all jokes should be accepted and people should just take it, while some people think that you have to kind of walk a tightrope when it comes to making certain jokes, especially about gay people, especially about black people. People think that it's tough to be funny while talking about things that pertain to people that want to be respected. In the special, Dave Chappelle declared himself Team TERF, which is typically applied to individuals who are openly opposed to transgender inclusion. Gender is a fact, Chappelle says in his special. Every human being in this room, every human on earth had to pass through the legs of a woman to be here on earth, before going on to compare transgender women to beyond meat. Chappelle previously came under fire for targeting transgender men and women during Equanimity, a Netflix special released in 2018. So, Dante, you know, people were calling to get this.
That's a lot.
I know it is a lot. I'm sorry to throw that at you, but, you know, people were calling to get this special removed from Netflix. People hated it. Some people loved it. We both watched it. What are your thoughts on the controversy and what are your thoughts on the special in general?
All right. So like I just said, that's a lot, but I'm going to give y'all, you know, my thoughts and bounce thoughts off of Justin and get the conversation flowing here. I'll take it one step at a time. My thoughts on the special. It's not the funniest Dave Chappelle special I've ever seen. Not by a long shot, actually. Like there have been Chappelle specials I've watched where I'm damn near in tears because it's hilarious. The guy's a very, very smart comedian. So I think that some of the reason for the controversy is that those jokes were very deliberate. It's not a slip or like, hey, he built upon a joke and just kept taking it too far. Dave Chappelle in this special, to me, he's a master at his craft. I think that's undeniable. And what he did here is keep walking up to the line and then making people believe like, yeah, no, he's on our side. And I guess our side in this would be the trans community, right? He's on our side. He gets it because you're listening to what he's saying and he understands the issues and the problems. But then he slaps you in the face and tells you to stop crying because he's making jokes about it. It's very interesting and confusing all at the same time. And I kind of want to watch it again and take notes on it at this point to figure out, because I remember specific jokes that I'm not going to repeat in here, but I'm like, okay, he gets it. Like, he understands what these people are going through, but then he makes jokes that are like, so you're basically telling them to go fuck themselves at the same time. So very confusing. The controversy surrounding it. Listen, I'm not trans. I'm not in a position to tell anybody how they should feel or why they should feel a certain way. People are allowed to receive information or content any way that they see fit, regardless of intent. You know, we've all been in situations where we may have hurt somebody's feelings. We didn't intend to do it, but we did it. But we did hurt their feelings because that's how they interpreted it. I saw how you were talking about people at Netflix speaking on it. One of the creators of Dear White People, the show on Netflix, says that he's no longer going to work for Netflix as long as they have that special up. So,
Netflix, I'm done, declared Jacqueline Moore, former showrunner of the acclaimed series Dear White People, who told of her own transition during Pride Week on Netflix. I will not work with them as long as they continue to put out and profit from blatantly and dangerously transphobic content. Glad issuing a statement saying in part, Dave Chappelle's brand has become synonymous with ridiculing trans people and other marginalized communities. And from National Black Justice Coalition President David J. Johns, with 2021 on track to be the deadliest year on record for transgender people in the United States, the majority of whom are black transgender people, Netflix should know better. Netflix should immediately pull the closer from its platform.
It's going to be interesting to see what unfolds here in the not too distant future. You know, are they going to look at it as Dave Chappelle brings us way more money than Dear White People brings us, good luck in your future endeavors, or how they're going to take it? And that's just some of my first raw thoughts on it. What are yours?
Well, I think that Dave Chappelle is funny. Comedy and stand-up is not something that I gravitate towards because I don't really like it in general, but I like smart things. I feel like by now y'all know my taste. I like things that make people think. I like things that foster a conversation. And I think some of the best comedy does that. And I think Dave Chappelle at times does that. This special was one of those that, you know, talked about things that are controversial, and sometimes it can spark controversy. So I think in some aspects, the controversy is warranted, but I did think that the special was funny. So as Dante said, people that belong in different communities have a right to feel however they want to feel. I'm not trans, so there's certain jokes that I might think are funny, but a trans person might think, hey, that's not funny, he's punching down. So, you know, they're entitled to feel that way.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second, please? Can you talk to me about the term punching down, right? Because in the special, the way he's describing it, saying that if somebody is saying that you're punching down, that makes those people lesser than you, and that was kind of a reoccurring theme during, especially saying you can't tell me that I'm punching down on you if you want to be treated equally. Or am I misinterpreting that?
I mean, that's how Dave Chappelle seemed to interpret it. The way I interpret punching down is when you're in a certain position, feeling the need to grab at low-hanging fruit. Like we talked about several episodes ago with Eddie Murphy and some of the stand-up he used to do in the past. He's come out in the present and said that some of the jokes he was making in the past, he would not make today.
When you watch that stuff, do you laugh? Is it still funny to you?
Some of it I cringe when I watch. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that.
I mean, people were picketing you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did that bother you?
No, in the moment you kind of was like, hey, it is what it is, you know?
Does it bother you now?
I've seen stuff that I go like, you get a joke every now and then that's cringy.
And some people thought that in the past he was punching down on the gay community by making jokes that would not be acceptable today. People are like, Eddie Murphy's funny. He can talk about so many different things. Why continuously talk about gay people? It's easy to talk about gay people because they're already so bullied in society. So why don't you expand your horizons and talk about other things instead of ragging on this one community? So in terms of punching down, it kind of in a way applies to Dave Chappelle, because this isn't actually the first time that he's talked about trans people in a stand-up special. They said that one in 2018, he was making trans jokes as well. So in terms of punching down, it's like, you're making jokes about low-hanging fruit. Oh, trans people, ha ha ha, so funny. Yeah, we get it, but what else can you joke about? And I think that Dave Chappelle is very talented. Does he have to joke about trans people to be funny? No. So at this point, I want to see him move beyond joking about the trans community, because it's too easy to make jokes like that, especially a community that's already so marginalized. So, you know, I agree with some of the things that people were saying, and I think at this point, he can make other jokes. We get it. Move on to something else.
I'm with you. And I think that if you've listened to this for any amount of time, you know that I always believe that it comes down to the money. Are people's pockets or corporations' pockets going to be hurt over this? They're not canceling Dave Chappelle. Netflix is not going to pull that special. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, they're not going to pull the special. I think one of the co-CEOs of Netflix said that Dave Chappelle is here to stay. So obviously, all this controversy is getting more eyeballs on the project. And that's the point of Netflix, to get people watching. And ultimately, I think that's the best stand-up comedy. Comedy that gets you talking. Comedy that starts a dialogue like Dante and I are having. I think it's important. And I think Dave Chappelle talked about important stuff dealing with the trans community that we don't talk about enough. He made some good jokes about feminism and how feminism has kind of been overtaken by white women and their issues, and they've been ignoring the plight of black women and other people who are also women. Feminism is not just about white women, it's about all women. So he was making some good points about that. I thought that it was funny, to be honest. Some of the jokes, I could see where some people could be offended. It is what it is.
So when he made those jokes about feminism and white women hijacking it, there's a clip that I want you guys to look up if Justin doesn't put this in episode, of Bill Burr's SNL stand-up monologue.
I gotta tell you, the way white women somehow hijack the woke movement, generals around the world should be analyzing this. Just to refresh your memory, the woke movement was supposed to be about people of color not getting opportunities, the at-bats that they deserved, finally making that happen. And it was about that for about 8 seconds. And then somehow, white women swung their Gucci-booted feet over the fence of oppression and stuck themselves at the front of the line. I don't know how they did it.
He hits it. It's perfect. Like, I can't do it justice reciting it to you. Just go look it up if the clip isn't in here. But yeah, look up Bill Burr's SNL monologue, because he talked about what Chappelle did and actually did it better than Chappelle, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think fostering those conversations is important. And, you know, we're having those conversations right now. So people that feel offended, they're entitled to feel offended. But to call for something to be removed, I think, is a step too far. But then again, I might be coming from a place of privilege because I'm not trans. So it's like, how can I dare tell a person what to be offended by? It's like somebody ragging about black people in a comedy special and me being offended and calling for it to be taken down, and somebody telling me that I'm too sensitive. Don't tell me that I'm too sensitive, especially if you're not black.
Yeah, I'm never going to tell anybody how they should feel, especially when they're the people that are offended by it. And the thing I've always had problem with is that people who aren't affected by it telling people how they should feel, like, oh, well, you know, the think pieces out there are like, I'm not trans, but let me tell you why trans people should be offended by this. It's not your place. It's not my place. Let them have their own voice and speak on it, yeah, and air their grievances.
Mm-hmm. And even if people want it to be taken down, it's not going to be taken down. So if you don't like something, ignore it. Don't give it attention. Don't watch it. You have the power to not view it if you don't support it. Same way, if I go to a terrible restaurant that had terrible service that treated all my friends bad, I don't have to support it. I can write a review and tell people not to go there, but there's certain limits I have in terms of what I can do. So, you know, there's certain limits that people that watch the special that got offended have as well. They're entitled to their feelings, but to call for it to be taken down, I don't think is going to happen, even though people certainly feel like it should.
Oh yeah, I'm big on that Yelp train. I've left plenty of good and bad reviews. If you want an expected result, like, I'm not one of those people that's always on the negative, right? Like, if I leave a review on Yelp, most of them have been about how great something was. You got to really do something bad to make me be like, yeah, I'm going to leave a bad review here. And one time that I recall it happened, I was out to eat and I had never been to this restaurant. And I asked the waiter, I was like, hey, what do you usually get? And she looked me dead in my face. I must have had bitch written on my forehead that day or something. I don't know what was going on. And she was like, I come here to work, not to eat. I said, oh,
wow.
Shit. I said, okay, baby, that's the type of energy we on today. Cool. Wrote a bad review. The company contacted me. they gave me like $250 worth of coupons to like eat there for free and shit, man.
Wow.
I was like, okay, that's cool.
Hey.
But like, I wouldn't have made an issue of it if she wasn't an asshole.
Your approach is everything, y'all. So servers, be careful, because some people don't like to tip. Capitalism will not kill me.
All right.
So
imagine if that was Justin that had that happen to him. He might have walked out on the bill. Like,
no.
You eat this one.
Don't put that on me. Don't put that on me. I pay my bill.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. That's actually... Never mind. We talk about that off air. Justin, play the elevator music.
Okay.
And if you are on Netflix and you want to watch a good, thought-provoking, funny comedy special, look up Tambourine by Chris Rock. Awesome comedy special. Chris Rock's probably my favorite comedian ever. But just saying, if you guys want to take a look at something. What do we have next, Justin?
So speaking of people wanting to ban certain things, I don't know if y'all have been seeing, but a lot of high schools in Texas, or not even in Texas, around the country, have been banning teachers displaying pride flags and Black Lives Matter symbols in the classroom. In the article from the Washington Post, it says, an Oregon school board on Tuesday voted to ban educators from displaying pride flags, Black Lives Matter symbols, or other emblems in the classroom that are considered political, quasi-political, or controversial, despite pushback from teachers, lawmakers, and residents. We don't pay our teachers to push their political views on our students. That's not their place, Shannon said. Their place is to teach the approved curriculum, and that's all this policy does, is to ensure that that is happening in our schools. So, you know, people agree, people disagree. Dante, what do you think about this school policy? Do you agree or disagree with it?
With things like this, to me, it has to be all or nothing. You can't say something is bad and something is good. Everything needs to be banned. Like, don't have posters on the wall, period, then, if people aren't allowed to express their views or individuality. So if you're making them take down those flags, then don't have any. Just have your state flag and the United States flag. Don't let people express themselves or be an individual. Make the kids wear uniforms. Everybody look the same. And then, cool, then you foster that environment that you're looking for. But it can't be a this is bad and this is good. It has to be all or nothing, in my opinion.
I agree with the school board on this. You know, I support Black Lives Matter. You know, I support the LGBTQ community. But when it comes to teaching in a classroom, I do think that students are there to learn about whatever they're being taught. Because the only reason I say that this is my opinion, would I feel comfortable with my kid being in a class and the teacher has a Blue Lives Matter flag in the classroom? Would I feel comfortable with that? The answer is no. So like you said, all or nothing. If they're going to ban that, they need to ban the Blue Lives Matter flags as well, because some people might not think that that's political, but that in a way signals what you stand for. Students shouldn't be concentrated on what their teachers represent. They should be concentrated on what the subject is at hand. I agree with that. So if you're going to ban the rainbow flag, if you're going to ban Black Lives Matter, ban the Blue Lives Matter, and ban all of those things. And this might be a backwards opinion, but that's how I see it.
In 2021, you're still allowed to have an opinion. Like I said, I'm all about it has to be all or nothing, right? So nothing political, nothing that can be considered political. Sure, yeah, you can have a poster on the wall that says exercise is good for you in your health class. I'm not saying take those down, but I remember, and this is when I was in school, you know, 47 years ago.
Right.
Feels like it.
Dante's 36, if Kanks, y'all didn't know.
I am not. You know, they would have celebrities on a poster saying, you know, read a book or drink milk or something like that. Don't have no endorsements, because then people can go and see what that person stands for. And that could be misconstrued into, okay, so you have a poster of The Rock and here's who he voted for. So now this is a political statement, because you can go down too many rabbit holes, man. All or nothing.
So what is your stance on this law, though? Do you think that it's wrong and teachers should be able to display whatever they want to display?
No, I don't think it's wrong, actually. I don't think the law is wrong. That's why I was saying I think it has to be an all or nothing thing. But I do think that kids are there to learn, right? And if you want to learn about your teacher's personal views and opinions, then you could talk to them after class about that. But everybody should be there to learn and not be swayed one way or the other. The purpose of school is you should learn critical thinking skills so you can go to your own conclusions and make your own opinions and theories.
So do you think that the rainbow flag is political, or the Black Lives Matter flag?
So here's why I say yes, because it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what emotions and thoughts it provokes in the people that are seeing it. Like you said, if you saw the Blue Lives Matter flag, you'd be there like, oh, what the fuck? Like, I'm leaving this establishment. Like, why would I patronize this restaurant or whatever because they're flying that flag? But just like if I saw somebody flying a Trump flag and they came to my house. There was a video I saw, 2 years ago, I think it was, like, dude pulled up to this black lady's house to do a work. I guess he was a plumber or something, and he had, like, a Trump flag and a Confederate flag. She was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm canceling the service. And he was like, wait, what do you mean? She was like, you could take your flags and get the fuck off my property.
Allison and Zeke Brown of Atlanta went online and hired the contractor to repair their golf cart. But the moment they saw the flag, that was it.
This is easy. We can control where we spend our money, and we control where this family dollar goes, and it will not go to someone who is promoting such hate.
Hi. Hi, how you doing? You know what? I do apologize. I know you've come from a very long way, but we're going to use someone else.
She's upset with the flag.
No, I'm beyond upset with the flag. No, you don't need to take it back. You continue to believe what you need to believe, sir, but no, I cannot pay you for your services. Thank you. Have a good day.
I would respond the same way. Unfortunately, in this world, you know, there's going to be people that see a Black Lives Matter flag or a rainbow flag and respond the same way. Okay, you can get the fuck out of here if that's what you support. So, yes, it is political.
Okay. You know, I see where you're coming from. So it's not about what we think. It's about how other people will perceive those things. So people will attach political views to a rainbow flag or to a Black Lives Matter flag. And it's sad because all Black Lives Matter stands for is somebody else's humanity. So somebody else's humanity is political, Dante.
Yeah. Some things are political.
Sad to see it. Sad to see it. But what do you guys think?
We hate to see it.
No, yeah, we hate to see it for sure, but what do you guys think? Do y'all think that it's fair that this school is banning those type of flags? Would y'all support it? Do y'all not support it? Where do y'all stand on our opinions? Let us know, let us know, let us know.
All right. Well, guys, I told you previously that there was something I was going to talk about us being tied to our phones all the time. And did any of you that still use Facebook notice that your Facebook was down for about 6 hours one day last week, and also WhatsApp and Instagram? Did anybody notice that? Justin, did you try to log onto your Facebook and continue a poke war from 15 years ago with somebody?
I did not. I do not use Facebook or really much social media in general, but I did not notice until people were texting me asking me if these certain apps are down or whatever.
Yeah, I got off the Facebook train about a year ago, and it's been fucking lovely. Like, I mean this. Like, somebody could have messaged me on Facebook and said, and it could have been legit and would have said, hey, I have $5 million waiting for you. I would not know that it's there. So
it's real.
Yeah. Like, I don't use it. You know what? And what's so creepy about this shit, man, I stopped using Facebook and Facebook knows. So now I get emails from Facebook like, you missed 18,000 statuses and this person just updated their. I'm like, the reason I stopped using it because I don't give a fuck about their lives. No way. So why are you emailing me about this?
Leave me
like,
alone.
Let's stop. Yeah. Stop it, Zuckerberg, like Boosie would say, right? Like,
right.
Somebody give me Mark Zuckerberg number. But anyway, so a lot of people are saying that the timing of that outage at Facebook HQ is very odd because a Facebook whistleblower was testifying before Congress the next day. And this whistleblower, I do not have her name in front of me, so I apologize. But she said the company knows that it's harming people and they put profits over people and everything stops and goes through Mark Zuckerberg.
Whistleblower Frances Haugen insisting Congress must act against a company she says is misleading the public, promoting hateful and harmful content, holding its CEO to account.
In the end, the buck stops with Mark.
Haugen left Facebook in May, armed with tens of thousands of internal documents, including some, she says, showing the company knows its Instagram app can contribute to eating disorders in teen girls, a characterization Facebook has disputed.
It's just like cigarettes. Teenagers don't have good self-regulation. They say explicitly, I feel bad when I use Instagram, and yet I can't stop.
Justin, jump in there.
Well, a lot of the stuff that she was saying, it wasn't really news to me because I know how social media works. I know how these companies collect all this information on us, and I know how they like to target ads, and I know how they like to target young people. Young people are always on their phones. Young people are always on social media. She leaked a study that basically said that a lot of young girls are mentally harmed by the stuff that they see on social media, and that there should be like restrictions in place to make sure that people are limited in terms of what they're exposed to. And she wanted to call for the end of targeted ads towards kids because she thinks that that's very harmful towards them. And I agree. She said in her statement that the algorithms reward engagement. In other words, when a post receives comments, likes, and other interactions, it is spread more widely and is featured more prominently in feeds instead of just featuring on posts in chronological order. The engagement-based formula helps sensational content such as posts that feature rage, hate, or misinformation travel far and wide, she said. So she said it's causing teenagers to be exposed to more anorexia content, and it's pulling families apart. And in places like Ethiopia, it's literally fanning ethnic violence. The reforms that she's calling for should make the platforms themselves safer and less twitchy. Yeah, you know, she did a brave thing, because I would be scared for my life if I leaked stuff that harms Mark Zuckerberg and all the powers that be at Facebook, but she's doing it for the greater good.
She could end up dead under mysterious circumstances. Oh, yeah, she caught COVID, or, you know, she had a flu or whatever, slipped and fell down the steps. Yeah, like that is pretty brave of her. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the government has been targeting Facebook and wanting to break them up because they think they're a monopoly for a long time. And the winds of change are not on Mark Zuckerberg's side here. And also, like, to me, it's very conspicuous that, yeah, you have an outage for 6 hours the day before somebody has to go testify at Congress. Like, you mean to tell me you guys weren't burning some hard drives there, know, and deleting, right, some data? Like, come on, that's too, it's like you did it in plain sight. Like, you're winking while you're doing it. Like, no, we're not up to anything, and you're winking and telling us, you're pissing on us and telling us it's rain, basically.
Right.
Like, stop it.
So my question is, how much responsibility is on Facebook versus how much responsibility should go on the parents to understand what their kids are doing on social media and even giving them access to Facebook and smartphones for that matter?
Well, I think the conversation about like your kids not having social media and all that stuff is out the window, right? Everybody has an iPhone or high-powered Android, so everybody is going to be on these social media apps. So the parenting thing, like, I don't really think there's much that they can do besides, you know, putting locks and restrictions on a cell phone or something like that. And there has to be some accountability put on users here, right? People that use, ooh, these apps. Like you just said, you don't use Facebook no more. I gave y'all a lengthy explanation of why I don't use Facebook anymore. I barely use IG. You know what I mean? It's just not my steez. But the sinister part about this all is that they're targeting the ads towards these people. They're preying on these people's insecurities. And that's what's evil to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry if I didn't answer your question, but that's what was on my heart right there in the moment.
No, I think the responsibility lies on both people. It's like three parties that are involved at this point. It's the parents, it's the individual, and it's the company. The company knows how people are vulnerable, and they're still targeting ads towards young people. That's wrong. Stop doing that. Now, kids are obsessed with smartphones. They're obsessed with being on Instagram and on Facebook. So they, you know, have a part to play in terms of what they see and what they consume. If you don't like it and if it's making you feel bad, delete the app and put the phone down. Am I right? Or am I saying something that is not sensitive to people's thoughts and feelings?
Say that one more time.
I'm just saying it's the company that's targeting all those stuff. And it's also the individual who has the option to delete the app, don't have a smartphone, or don't even go on the apps that are causing you all this harm. Because in my mind, it doesn't make sense that this thing is hurting me, but I'm still going to go on it. If I'm feeling depressed or something, and I know that the cause is Instagram, I'm going to delete my account. And on the parents, I feel like parents have a role to play as well, because I think more parents need to be monitoring what their kids are doing online. When I was in high school, and this is still happening, we all got iPads. Every single student had an iPad that they could use at school and also take home to complete assignments and whatever. But they took away certain apps. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have any social media on those iPads. We only had the internet and whatever apps were allowed by the school. And when we went on a website that we weren't supposed to, it would say, you are on a porn website, and it would block the website. Or you are on entertainment, and it would block the website. So, you know, I feel like parents can enact that on the phones that they give to their children to make sure that they know what their kids are being exposed to. So it's a three-tier thing, and they should all work together to make sure that kids are ultimately kept safe, because the internet is a scary place.
And like you said, and maybe some people don't have that level of cognitive function, or I don't know. I don't even know if the word bravery, maturity. I don't feel. Yeah, like if something don't make me feel good, guess what Dante not going to do? Keep doing that thing that don't make me feel good. period, point blank. You don't make me feel good. And this goes, you know, for an app, it goes for people, whatever, you know, like if, let's say you're hanging out with somebody, you're like, man, like, I don't like being around you. Guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to fucking be around you no more. You know what I mean? Like, you gone from my life.
Goodbye.
Like Thanos. I don't even watch those movies, but I know that he like snaps his fingers and destroys the universe. Yeah, you destroyed my universe. So like, I didn't like Facebook because I hated seeing people look stupid. I hated seeing people that I thought I knew where they stood stand somewhere else. And I hated seeing all the false information and all the political shit on both sides. I was like,
it's exhausting. Yeah,
this ain't for me no more. So cool. And then I'm wasting my time scrolling here when I could be doing something to better myself or better my life. Fuck Facebook.
Ooh.
So
off that should have been his off my chest, y'all. Look at him foaming at the mouth.
Fuck Facebook. And I you know, I don't know if I don't really have an opinion on if I think Mark Zuckerberg is like intentionally evil or something. Maybe he created a beast that he can't control anymore. I don't know. But I'm never going to give that man the benefit of doubt on anything. I said what I said.
I said what I said. Okay, y'all. And Dante said what he said. I said what I said. That's where we stand on Facebook. So what do you guys think? How much responsibility do parents have? How much responsibility do the individuals have? And how much responsibility does Facebook have? Let us know. Let us know. Let us know.
So, in the vein of, you know, social networks and everything, YouTube deletes two R. Kelly channels but stops short of a ban. The video platform said it was enforcing its terms of service 1 week after the singer was convicted of federal racketeering and sex trafficking charges. I'll let you go first before I say, you know, my feelings and thoughts on this.
Sure. So YouTube has its like terms and agreements. And if people break those rules, they get kicked off of YouTube. So YouTube was like, we're deleting your Vivo channel. We're deleting this channel. And you do not align with our service. So bye. So I thought that that was interesting because it's their policies, their rules, so they can do whatever they want. But I'm like, is this a slippery slope where people who have been accused of stuff also get their channels taken down? But I think it's different because maybe in this situation, once somebody has been criminally charged, then that's when they can take action in terms of getting somebody's channel taken down. But it's their platform, so they can do whatever they want. Same way Twitter took down 45's Twitter account. It's their platform. They can do whatever they want. If you do not abide by their terms and agreements, bye. You're not on our platform anymore. So these companies have a lot of power and they can control who they want on and off of their platform. So if R. Kelly is one of those people that they want gone, they're going to do that. And they did.
Right. And what I find interesting, and you know, for the people that wanted to cry about 45 being taken off Twitter, it's a private company. They're allowed to do as they please because that's the First Amendment. And don't you don't tread on me, people. Don't you love to wave around the First Amendment and talk about that? So, you know, just saying, can't pick and choose there. It's the Constitution and your rights. Anyway, how I feel about YouTube with this is, so you delete two channels, but you didn't ban them. What's the point? Like I said before, full circle moment, all or nothing, right? Sure, he can't make money off of it, I'm assuming, because of the channels that they deleted. But if his content's still up there and people can still do it, if you don't want him on your platform, do a total ban on it. And like, I know what you're saying. It's a slippery slope and I agree with you. But if they want to enforce their terms and policies, you know, I just don't believe in doing anything half-ass. I think that's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. So you're saying, we really don't want you to listen to R. Kelly, but it's okay if you still do on our platform. Like, no, like you're just doing this for symbolism is what that makes me think. Yeah, we're going to delete his official channels, but you know, you guys can still listen to him on here. Then what are you really doing? You're not doing anything. You're trying to appease the masses.
I disagree. I think that his individual songs and stuff can stay on there, but what they deleted was his two main sources of income when it comes to YouTube. Because Vivo, every artist has a Vivo account, and they run up a lot of streams when it comes to those videos that people view. And they took that away. So they're cutting off a big part of his revenue stream. So I think that that's a good thing that they did that. I think it's a slippery slope to then eradicate all of his stuff as if he never existed. I don't know, stand with that. Because people still want to listen to that. We might disagree with them listening to it, but they still have a choice, whether that be a lyric video or whatever.
That's why we call the show Polar Opposites, right, guys? We like to hear different perspectives. You know, like Justin said in the beginning of every episode, we agree, we disagree. Sometimes we find middle ground. And I don't think it's so much a disagreement as I'm just saying, if you're going to go so hard, go all the way. That's it. But I understand your point of view saying we did our part, but people can still freely do theirs, right?
Yeah.
Like your parents, right? Like we put cookies in the cookie jar and we put them on top of the refrigerator. There's a stool there. If you decide to step on that stool and go get cookies, that's your business. You know? So
right.
I get it. I get it.
Quickly speaking of R. Kelly before we get into the next thing. So I was watching this YouTube show, I think it was Fox Soul, and these women were talking about R. Kelly being found guilty. And one of the women on the panel, she was like, R. Kelly needs more than just prison time. He needs therapy. He needs help. And I thought this was interesting because I know R. Kelly is a whole separate case, but about pedos in general. Why is it with pedos that we don't treat it the same in terms of people having a problem? We lock these people away from society. They get a scarlet letter. They go on this database and everybody knows where they are at all times. Do you think that prison is the best way to help these people? Are they beyond help? Or, you know, is it fine that they're punished and locked away forever without any recourse or a way to redeem themselves or get therapy or help if needed? And I'm not trying to make a case for that. I'm just trying to ask a question to Dante.
Yeah, no, very loaded question. There's a lot that you went over there. The reason I think that pedophilia is looked at so bad is because these are people that are hurting, preying on, and yeah, hurt's the right word, people who are defenseless. I have no sympathy, no empathy for that. So if you touch little kids, whatever happens to you, to the full extent of the law, I believe should happen to you. Talking about reforming that, like, look, man, if you rape kids, I don't really care about reforming you. I just want you to be away where you can never touch kids again or be in the situation where you could touch kids again. So that's how I feel about it.
So you don't think there's any way that somebody like that can be rehabbed?
Maybe they can. I don't know.
Because clearly something is wrong. It's a sickness. And with sicknesses, we try and administer cures, right?
Sometimes they try. But then again, you know, what do we call sicknesses? Because up until the 70s, they said being homosexual was a sickness and tried to shock people. And it's not apples to apples what we're talking about right now. I'm just saying, you know, when you call something a sickness, the different things have been called sicknesses throughout time. Look, I feel very strongly about pedophilia, so I might not be able to give you an unbiased opinion on it. And I'm just going to admit that to you right now. Because I think that, you know, touching little kids, like, yeah, that for me, that's just one of those things, like, fuck you, burn in hell type of thing. I can't make a case for you as a person. Like, to me, you cross the line and I don't view you as redeemable at that point anymore. You preyed on somebody that couldn't defend themselves, a little kid. You stole their innocence from them.
So that's where you stand with pedophilia. So what about that guy that went into the high school and shot somebody? Is there recourse for him?
We're talking about the guy in Texas, correct?
Yeah. Is there recourse
for him? I think people that, for some violent crimes, yeah, you can have recourse for that. Like, I think that this guy, and I don't want to speak for him, I'm not in his mind, I don't represent him legally. That man was hurting, I guess, right? Like you said, he got beat up by somebody that was younger than him. Must have been embarrassed, went and grabbed a gun because that's what he thought the proper recourse was for this. And he's 18, hasn't lived no life yet, man. I do think that he, you know, while in jail, I hope he'll have the opportunity to reflect on what he did. And if he ever gets out, try to be a better person.
Okay, interesting. So you know how, like, pedos, whenever they get out from wherever they go, they're on a watch list. Do you think that people that shot at somebody or people that murdered other people that got out, do you think that they should also be on a similar watch list, that people should be made aware when they live close to somebody who has committed such a heinous act?
I would be for that. 100%. If somebody committed violent acts, you should know who your neighbor is, right? Like, You're completely right about the sex offender thing. I've had to use that, you know, throughout my career and, you know, see those blue dots everywhere and over neighborhoods and stuff like that because of the background checks that we run. But that's besides the point. But yeah, I think you should know if you're living next door to a murderer.
Okay, we're getting somewhere, y'all. We're getting somewhere. So, you know, reform doesn't stop at one area. We can reform many areas. And, you know, I feel like nobody's really talking about this. So maybe it's good that we're getting this out into the ether. And hey, I'm just posing this to y'all. Take it as you will. Take it as you will, man.
No, I mean, that was a great follow-up. I appreciate that. I like being put on the spot and coming up with solutions or my opinions. And I think that was really good right there. I hope you guys enjoyed. What do you guys think about it, right? Like, do you think that would be helpful if you knew of violent criminal offenders in your neighborhood the same way that there's a sex offender registry? Do you believe that pedophiles can be redeemed and changed? You know, let us know what you think about, because this is a very intricate and deep topic.
Yeah, as it always is with the topics on this show.
Yeah, seriously. And like I said, you know, I have biases against it. And, you know, maybe I have a blind spot because I go so hard against it, man. Like, you touch kids, that's just, that's it for me. I can't do nothing for you. You're not redeemable. You could be on fire and I wouldn't piss on you to put you out.
Mm-hmm. And same, you know, with murders.
That's just my opinion. So, cool.
Right. So we know where Dante stands.
All right. So moving along, our next topic here. A wedding photographer divides opinion by deleting a couple's photos when they refused him food, water, or a break after paying just $250 for a 10-hour job. Obviously, there's a lot more to this story, but I'm just going off the headline here. And I saw some talk about this on Black Twitter, and it definitely was divided on where people stood. Like, is the photographer right for deleting pictures of their wedding based on the pay rate that he agreed to, them refusing him food or water or a break? What do you think, Justin? Because I don't know about this one. I think that we're going to agree.
I feel like it's common courtesy, and I feel like it's something that should go unspoken in terms of a wedding and the people doing work getting a break to eat. Imagine, you know, working really hard, smelling all that food. It's finally time for your break. And the person that you're helping out with their wedding, they say, no meal for you. You can't eat. I would feel some type of way, too, because I'm doing you a favor. First of all, the rate that he gave them as a couple for a wedding for a 10-hour shoot is robbery, because a lot of people charge way more, especially for a wedding, in the thousands. That's what you can expect to pay a photographer. So the fact that he's doing it for $250, it's a steal. So why not, you know, make the people that are working for you happy? I feel like a lot of people that employ people, they run into this thing where they feel like they can disrespect the people that work for them. I think that it's easy to pay people what they're worth, and it's also easy to treat people with decency and respect. And part of decency and respect is offering somebody a plate to eat after they've been on their feet taking pictures of your wedding to capture the most beautiful moments that you're going to remember forever. The least you can do is offer a plate, and the fact that they refuse it, it says a lot about their character. And I don't know if it's one of those strict things where it's like there are 200 guests and there are 200 plates, there are no extra plates for anybody else. I don't believe that. If that's the case, then I can see where you have an excuse. But obviously, you know, not everybody's going to finish their plate. I'm sure there's plenty of food for the photographer to eat. So I feel bad for him. You said that he went ahead and deleted the pictures that he took because they refused, you know, him a plate. That's kind of extreme. What I would do is I would keep the pictures on hold in my USB or whatever, and then say, hey, you know what? I did a job for you, but I'm not giving you the pictures because you treated me like trash. But I would still keep the pictures because you never know if you're finally going to mend fences, and then just give them the pictures after y'all, you know, talk things through. So deleting it is a little harsh, and it's kind of petty. I wouldn't have deleted it. I would have withheld it from them, but not deleting. But the couple is definitely in the wrong for not even offering a plate.
I thought that we would agree on this. We agree on everything, except there's one thing that you didn't mention that I can fault the photographer for. You agreed to that pay rate, so I don't want to hear you complaining about a pay rate. You agreed when you decided to take their pictures, and you guys came to an agreement that your time was, your 10 hours or whatever it was worth $250. I can't feel bad for you on that. Now, the whole food thing, like, yeah, that's just wrong, man. Like, this person is working there doing you a favor. You got the hookup on it too, that low, low price. Yeah, even if it's a strict thing, like you said, okay, there's 200 guests, there's 200 plates. Man, y'all can order that man a pizza, or like somebody in your groom's party or bridal party can order that man a pizza, because that's obviously the last thing that you're thinking about on your wedding day, I'm sure. Did your photographer eat? I'm pretty sure you're not thinking about that, and I can't fault anybody for not thinking about that. It's your wedding day. You're not thinking about, did my photographer eat? But stuff like that should be handled ahead of time. Refusing somebody water, like, the fuck is this man in jail? Was he doing this on a release program or something? Like, I don't know. I don't get that. Only thing I'll fault the photographer for is the $250 for a 10-hour shoot. But besides that, yeah, the couple was wrong on this one. And him deleting their photos shows you how mad that man was, because look, besides stuff that was taken on people's iPhones and stuff, that day, they don't have pictures from it. You know, like, that's heavy shit right there, man.
Well, it shows that people should be treated with respect. No matter how low you think somebody is, treat somebody with common decency. If you're giving somebody nasty energy, they might delete your wedding pictures. Your best moments deleted into the ether for nobody to see. And that's a really sad thing. But I will say, if he was really that hungry, what he could have done is order Uber Eats or something, get him his meal, have him his little meal or his lunch break. And then after he completes his work, give them the photos, and just never work with them again. Leave a review, and I guess that's their reputation. I don't know, there's different ways to handle different situations. Somebody doesn't offer you a plate, maybe the best thing to do is not to delete their pictures. You know, I can't judge, you know, I don't know how mad he was, but at the same time, you know, that couple could have treated him a lot better. I don't know, there's probably a lot more to this story that's not being told, but this is all we know, so this is all I'm gonna say in terms of my reaction.
Don't let people scam you. Get paid what you think you're worth. And $250 for 10 hours, that just, damn. Sorry to that man. But that couple, they were acting like assholes from the point of the story that we saw. But he deleted all the pictures of their wedding day. And that has to sting. I couldn't imagine. Like, he might have signed him. That photographer might have signed himself up to get some paws put on him by these people. So, Justin, I'll throw it back to you. What are we talking about next?
So, John Gruden, if you guys don't know, he's an NFL head coach. He won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He eventually became an analyst for ESPN. He jumped back into coaching for the Las Vegas Raiders, and he's been coaching there, I think, for the last three seasons. Ooh, he's under some controversy because some leaked emails included him and he was using some offensive language, language that would never be acceptable today.
NFL coach and former Monday Night Football analyst John Gruden announcing his exit as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders after emails uncovered as part of a separate investigation revealed a torrent of sexist, racist, anti-gay language aimed at a slew of targets ranging from players to league officials. The emails, confirmed by the NFL, but not seen by NBC News, were initially discovered during an NFL workplace misconduct investigation into the Washington football team while Gruden was an analyst for ESPN.
So, these emails came to light, and now everybody in the world is seeing what he was saying in these emails. The fact that he felt so comfortable to say these things says a lot about his character. And now I'm reading a headline that's saying that he's resigning as coach of the Las Vegas Raiders because of his comments.
Last week, it was learned Gruden used a racist trope to describe NFL union chief DeMaurice Smith in a 2011 email, writing, "Dumborious Smith has lips the size of Michelin tires." Then the floodgates opened last night with a New York Times report detailing even more troubling emails showing Gruden using a offensive language to insult NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, also calling the league's first openly gay player Michael Sam a queer, disparaging players who protested during the national anthem, panning the hiring of female referees, and mocking league efforts to reduce concussions.
So Dante, what do you think of everything that's coming out? Because it's kind of a fresh story that's still, you know, refreshing as we're recording.
Well, that's what I'm glad that you prefaced, and I want the people to know that, like, all this is breaking as we're recording, so more things may come out, and we might get more insight, but Wall Street Journal was reporting on this, and these emails span from 2011 all the way up until 2018, when he was hired as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. His racial comments may have lost him the faith that his players had in him, honestly. You know, if this is the leader of the team and they think that this person thinks less of them because of the color of their skin, I mean, I wouldn't go out there and play for that man. You know, we talked about something like that before in a previous episode about one of the college coaches saying, "Let's get back on the plantation," or something like that. Like, look, I'm not playing for that man. You know, fuck all of it. Fine me, do whatever, suspend me, but I'm not playing for that man. And I think he may have lost the faith of some of his players. The sexist stuff and then calling people the F word and sissies and, you know, talking about a man's lips. But at the end of the day, he became a distraction for his team. They had to tell him in a nice way that you need to quit so we don't have to pay you anymore, because they signed him to like a 10-year, $100 million contract, which is crazy for a coach to ever get. And what are we in, year three, or is this year four of it? Yeah, so that's a lot of dead money, but they don't owe him any of it, I guess, because he resigned on his own.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because what is the team supposed to do now? I guess one of the assistant coaches is now going to be the head coach. Like, the team is in shambles.
Yeah, they have an interim coach right now. Yep.
Yeah, like, this is just chaotic, and this is not good for the stability of the franchise. It's not good for John Gruden. And it's just interesting how comfortable he felt to say that in an email. I feel like email is one of the worst places that you can ever say something like that, because there's a paper trail. People can always have access to those emails, and it lives forever. It really does. Like, especially if it's sent to multiple people in a chain or a group message on an email, like, it's there forever. So the fact that he felt so comfortable to say this, and honestly, Maybe somebody was holding this and they're like, one day we're going to use this against him and get him. And now the time has come. So Monique said it once and I'll say it again. When you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite. And John Gruden is bitten tonight.
So I just want to, I heard what Justin said. And so from my understanding, this was not somebody holding something against him. The Washington football team, formerly known as the Racial Slurs, I'm not going to say it on here, they're going through two separate lawsuits about unsafe work environments and sexual harassment. And these emails were uncovered as a part of those depositions.
Ooh.
So it wasn't somebody holding blackmail against him. This is actually like legal proceedings. And that's why all this stuff is coming out now.
Yep. It's interesting. Like, his reputation, I feel like, is ruined. Do you think there's any way that he can recover from this? Maybe get his job back at ESPN? Or do you think he's done in the current climate that we have now?
Not until we see what the results of the 2024 election are. Because I'm being serious. No, like, depending on the way that it sways, that's the way ESPN sways. They don't have a spine. ESPN doesn't have a spine. You know, they dragged Jemele Hill through the mud, but they said we support Sage Steele's right to free speech, but they didn't say it about Jemele Hill when she talked about 45. So,
well, they suspended Sage Steele though.
Yeah, and they suspended Jemele too. But in their statement, they, you know, we support her right to say whatever we want to say. Now, they just told Jemele, you know, basically, you're wrong. This isn't your job to talk about this, and we don't want to hear your opinion on it.
They're right in a way, right? She's an analyst for sports, right? Sports and politics are different.
Right, and so is Sage Steele. So why are you saying that you support her right to say this? Like I said, all or nothing. Treat them all the same. But for John Gruden, like, nah, he's toxic right now. Nobody's going to touch him. This is way too fresh. And Lord only knows what else we're going to find out about this. Like, they were saying that there was over, and they're not all from John Gruden, but there's over 800,000 emails a part of this deposition. So I don't think he's going to be the only person to fall in this.
Yikes. You know, it sucks. That's why people have to be careful with what they say. And it's kind of a full circle moment. We love it with Facebook and social media and what you're doing on there. Be careful, y'all, because what y'all say could come back to bite y'all. So get off while you can. Get off while you can. Jump off the ship before it's too late.
Unplug.
That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to save you guys. But I saw one tweet underneath the John Gruden controversy that said, just imagine how bad everyone would look if someone went through each person's past. Stop throwing stones when you live in glass houses. Plus, when did everyone get so soft that words hurt so bad? I'm sure this is a white man that tweeted this.
Listen, I don't need anybody to tell me how offended I should or should not be by something. We just, full circle moment again, you guys are going to get tired of us saying that, but we just said that's about the Chappelle special, right? I don't need a white person to tell me how I need to react and how I need to feel about somebody making racist comments. Like, no, it don't hurt my feelings talking about his lips. Like, I don't give a damn about that. It's the fact that this man felt comfortable saying these things. And you're supposed to be a leader of men, and 80% of the workforce in the NFL is black. So I don't need any white person to tell me how I should feel about these things. And you know, talking about, you know, don't throw stones in a glass house. Like, cool. Okay, so what's in your glass house then, my guy? You're making a stupid statement there.
Well, he must be a saint. In his bio, it says Catholic, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-military, pro-law enforcement. So I think we know where he stands.
That's a Russian bot, man.
It is what it is, but RIP to John Gruden. Hopefully this is a good thing to get rid of his toxic energy, and hopefully, you know, the team is able to recover from this, because it's very crazy to one day have a coach and to now have such a big upheaval in your franchise. So it's a little crazy out there for the Las Vegas Raiders. So I hope that everything, you know, works in their favor. But
hold on, I'm not wishing them too speedy of a recovery, because I think the Eagles have them in 2 weeks, so let it roll out for a little bit. I hope it reverberates some and trickles down.
I love how Dante is still, you know, withholding hope that his Eagles make a recovery. The season is over for y'all. Give it up, Delicious.
Give it up, Delicious. You look like a man.
We will see. We will see.
The Cowboys look good, though, so I'm happy. Happy week for me.
I mean, yeah, y'all hanging 40s on people. Like, yeah, y'all are the best team in the division. Ain't no shame in admitting that.
It's a long season. 1 week at a time, but the boys look good, y'all.
It is a long season, and Mike McCarthy is still your head coach. Two things to think about.
Right, and New Jersey still doesn't have a football team, but yes, what's new?
We have two, but anyway. Is that how we're ending this episode?
Sure, do you want to end it? You guys, that's about it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the content that we gave you this week. Always fun to come on here and stimulate you guys' brains and, you know, foster some conversation. You know, what did you think about Dave Chappelle's special? What do you think about John Gruden? What do you think about the stuff that we talked about? A lot to digest.
So much to digest. And I hope you guys enjoy listening to this episode the way that we enjoyed, you know, talking on it. It's a lot. So let us know what you think about this episode. Write in, give us your opinions. Write in more listener questions because we want to do another Q&A episode. Basically, we love doing those. We love interacting with you and giving you our perspective, our advice, our thoughts and feelings on different questions that you pose to us. Say goodbye to the people, Justin.
Bye, guys. This was fun. It always is. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, leave another review, or we'll call you out again. I'm just kidding. But no, we love reviews. We really do. And thank you so much for whoever wrote that review. It warmed my heart. I had to send it to Dante. My tear, a thug tear, trickled down my cheek. I loved it. So we want more. Send in more. Leave a review and rating and follow us to get in touch with the show. Ask us anything. And of course, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. Tell your friends to tell your friends about it. For Justin, I'm Dante. This has been another episode of Polar Opposites. We will see you next time. Take care, guys.